The Gemara tells us a yisoid in a few places called Ger Shnis Gayer Katan Shneila Dami, which means that when a person is Nisgayer, he undergoes a Gerus. It's Ki'ilu, he's reborn. He has a new birth, and this has halachic ramifications. For instance, Midairaisa, a person who's, let's say, Megayer, and his sister is, let's say, Megayer with him, he's allowed to marry his sister after the Gerus. Midairaisa. Why? Because Ger, Shenisgayer, Kikot, and Shnei Ladami, they're not sisters anymore. They're new people. They're reborn after their Gerus, and therefore, Midairaisa, they can marry each other. And so too, a person and his mother. He can marry his mother. Why? Because if they were both Megayer, now it's Ger, Shenisgayer, Kikot, and Shnei Ladami, they're new people, they were reborn, and therefore, Midairaisa, they can marry each other. Now, Chazal, after the Midrabanan, because it looks bad, and therefore, it's also midrabanan to marry a sibling or one of the arayis, even though technically it should be mutter. But the yesoid is true that ger shemizgayer katan shnei ladami, which the Gemara says in a number of places. The achrenim are very busy with trying to figure out what is the source for this concept. The Gemara has this premise that ger shemizgayer katan shnei ladami, that it's if it's a new birth for a person when he undergoes a gerus. Who said? Where does this come from? What is the source for this concept? So they struggle. The Achrenim struggle to find the source. There's the Sefer Rivid Hazov in Parshas Lech Lecha where he says that the source is because the pasuk says Ve'esan Nefesh Asher Osu Bechoron about Avraham Avinu that he converted many souls upon meeting them and being Mekar of them and he was Megayer of them. And the terminology used in the pasuk is Vesa Nefesh Asher Osu, that of the Nefesh that Avraham Avinu created. He was Osu. So the Ravid Hazov wants to suggest perhaps this is where Chazal saw the concept of Gerish and Nizgayer Katan Shnei Ladami, that these people were born when Avraham converted them. They were Osu. There was a new Asi, a new creation with their conversion, and that's the source that it's like a new birth when a Ger goes through a Gerus. Lamaisa, this is a little bit shver, because the Gemara never brings this pasuk as a source. The Rishonim don't really bring this. So it's really difficult to pin the entire concept of Gersh Nizgayer on these words in the pasuk about Avram converting the people in Choron. Remeir Simcha, in the Ur Sameach, Parshas Veschanan, suggests a different source. And he suggests that the source for the concept of Ger Shenizgayer Katan Shnei Ladami actually comes from the universal Gerus that took place by Har Sinai. Everyone in Klal Yisrael became Yitin through Har Sinai, through Matan Torah, and that is the source for this concept of Ger Shenizgayer Katan Shnei Ladami. Why? How do we see that there was a rebirth after Matan Torah? Says Rabbi Meir Simcha, because we find that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, many of them were married to their close relatives. For instance, the Gadol Hador was Amram, and Amram was actually married to his aunt, to Yecheved. And therefore, since the Gadol Hador was married to his aunt, it follows that many people in society were married to their sisters and their aunts and their other relatives. It was obviously the norm in society to be married to your close relatives. Yet, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them before Matan Torah to separate from your wives for 3 days in preparation for Kabbalah HaTorah. And after Kabbalah HaTorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael, Shuvu Lechem Lo Yaleichem, go return to your wives, go back to your tents, go back to your wives, and resume living as you had been living previously. Now, L'chaira, when the Torah was given, there was a new Isser in the Torah that they never had before that now was placed upon them. And that was the Isser to marry your close relatives. There's an Isser Arayas. You're not allowed to marry your aunt anymore. You're not allowed to marry your sister anymore. So if it was taka true that many in society were taka married to their aunt and to their sister and to all the other relatives, what does it mean that after Matan Torah, Moshe tells them, go back to your tents, go back to your wives? What do you mean? They now became usr to their wives, because now they became ne'esar with the isr of arayas. So what does it mean, go back to your wives? It must be, says Rameir Simcha, that through Kabbalah Satayra they underwent a gerus, as we found in the pasuk that they went and they had a mikvah, they went to the, had a tefillah in the mikvah, and they had Kabbalah Samitzvahs, they went, underwent mila, they had a hazah, they went through the process of gerus. They became gerim. And therefore, since they became gerim, we have a rule of gerish and esgarik katan shenei ladami. And therefore, since there's a rebirth, a new birth for these gerim, the mela, it's not really their aunt anymore that they were married to. It's not their aunt because they're a new person. And so too, if a person was married to his sister, since they now underwent the concept of gerus, memela, it's not their sister anymore. And therefore, in fact, it makes sense that they were allowed to return to these women who they were married to previously, because they weren't relatives since they underwent a gerus and ger shenizgayak kotin shneilodami. And that is the source, says Rameir Simcha, for Chazal to derive this concept of ger shenizgayer kekotin shenoyladomi. Now this makor of the Ur Sameach is actually very shver for a couple of reasons. First of all, the pasuk seems to imply not like that, because we found that in the second year after Kabbalah Satayra, a year later, we found that the Bnei Yisrael are crying by their families. They were crying lemishpachaisam. So what were they crying about? Rashi says, al iske mishpachaisam. They were crying about the fact that they were now became osur ba'arayis. And that's why they all broke down crying, because they realized they were osur in their relatives. That's what the pasuk says according to Rashi. Now, if it's true what Rameir Simcha is saying, that they were actually mutter in their sisters and in their aunts and etc., because it was already a conversion took place for them, and Gerish and Isgar are cotton shnei ladami, then why are they crying about the fact that they became Ne'esar and Arayas? L'chayra, there's no reason for them to cry. They were allowed to resume relations with their wives because Gerish and Isgar are cotton shnei ladami. So the assumption of Rameir Simcha that they underwent a gerus and therefore they became new people and therefore they were allowed to resume having a marriage with their aunt because it wasn't their aunt anymore is a little bit shver from the fact that they were crying al iske mishpachas, al iske arayis. That's a ha'ara on Rameir Simcha. But at any rate, that is the chiddush of Rameir Simcha, that the source for the concept of gerush and esgar katan shnei ladami is actually the posuk about Har Sinai, when after Kabbalah Satayrah, the Bnei Yisrael are told that Shuvu Lachem Lo Yaleichem, that they're allowed to return to their wives, even though many of them were married to their relatives. Now the truth is that there are Rishonim already that are Mavur, not like Rameir Simcha. And one of them is the Balei Tosfos. The Daskenim Balei Tosfos in Parshas Va'aloyischa clearly assumes that there was no din of Gerish and Isgar Katan Shnei Ladami with respect to the Gerish that took place by Matan Torah. The Das Kenim says that Eldad and Medad were actually brothers of Moshe. That's what he says. And he brings it down that they were brothers of Moshe. So he says, how were they brothers? So he says that after Matan Torah, there was an Isser Arayis that was incumbent now on the Bnei Yisrael, and therefore many people were married to their relatives and they had to divorce them. And included among this list was the Gadol Hador, Amram, who was married to his aunt, Yocheved. Now, when he divorced Yocheved after Matan Torah, because they were now ushered together because he was an erva with her, therefore she had to remarry, and she remarried someone and she had Eldad and Medad. And therefore, that's how Moshe was a brother with Eldad and Medad. And Azai Zog Taisvis, that's how Moshe was brothers with Eldad and Medad. You clearly see from Taisvis that he's assuming that Amram, after Matan Torah, had to divorce his wife Yocheved since they were relatives. Now, according to the Rameir Simcha, they didn't have to divorce each other because Gerish and Isgar Katan Shnei Ladami. Since they underwent a Gerus by Har Sinai, therefore, they were able to resume their marriage. They didn't have to divorce. You clearly see from Tosfos that there was no din of Gerish and Isgar Katan Shnei Ladami by Matan Torah, and therefore they had to divorce. The Ritva is also Mavur like that. The Ritva is Mavur that there was no din of Gersh and Esgayer Kakat and Shnei Ladami by Matan Torah. And the question is, why? If, in fact, we assume not Lekumeir Simcha, and the Rishonim are telling us that there was no din of Gersh and Esgayer Kakat and Shnei Ladami, there was no new birth by Har Sinai, the question is, why Taka wasn't there? Why was there no application of this rule of Gersh and Esgayer by Matan Torah? So there are two Mahalchim brought down in the Mefarshim. There are two Mahalchim to explain why there was no application of Gersh and Esgayer Kakat and Shnei Ladami by the giving of the Torah when Klal Yisrael L'chayra underwent national Gerus. The Maharal says that when you have a Gerus that takes place against your will, it's forced upon you, there is no din of Gersh and Esgayer Kakat and Shnei Ladami. And therefore, since there was a coercion that took place and Klal Yisrael was forced to accept the Torah by Har Sinai, therefore that Geirus that occurred at that time was not considered a regular Geirus which has the rule of Gerish and Esgayer Kakat and Shnei Ladami. Now what does the Maharal mean? So the Mefarshim explained, the Klei Chamda explains, that what the Maharal means is a very simple idea. And he says, what's the whole Yisoid of Gerish and Esgayer Kakat and Shnei Ladami? The Yisoid is that until now you were one person, you were a guy, and after you underwent the process of Gerus, you had a new birth, you're a new person. You entered a new state of being, a new state of existence. That's the Yisoid. That's the idea behind Gerish and Esgayer Kakat and Shnei Ladami. That you're now a new matzav, a new creation, a new bearer. Says the Klei Chamda, and he's explaining the Maharal and other Mefarshim who also make this premise. When it came to the Geirus that took place at Har Sinai, it didn't pass. It didn't have any application, this rule of Gersh and Esgayer. Why? Because the entire Bria came into existence for this event to take place, for this Geirus, for this Matan Torah to come into existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world Meikara only for the Torah. Only for the fact that Klal Yisrael would eventually accept the Torah and be Mekayim the Mitzvahs. And therefore, the entire creation of the world was in order to facilitate this Geirus at Har Sinai, which enabled them to receive the Torah. Therefore, since Meikara, the entire being of these people, were for this moment, it was all made, it was all destined to happen, it was all in the fabric of society, in the fabric of the world, that Klal Yisrael was eventually going to accept the Torah and be mechuyev in the mitzvahs. Therefore, you can't say that there was a change, that it used to be one matzav, and now Gersh and Esgayer, there's a rebirth. There's a new matzav that takes place, a new existence, and therefore, Gersh and Esgayer, Kakat and Shnei Ladami. No. Since they were Meikara, supposed to have this Geirus take place from the beginning of their creation, it's not considered a new birth, and therefore, there is no din of Gersh and Esgayer Kakat and Shnei Ladami. That's the first mahalach of the Mefarshim to explain why there was no application of Gersh and Esgayer when it came to the Geirus that took place by Har Sinai. The second mahalach is the mahalach of Rav Naftali. Rav Naftali has quite a well-known piece about the whole idea of Matan Torah and what took place by Matan Torah. And he basically says as follows. He says that there's a machlekes rishonim when the Jewish people actually lost their status of being Bnei Noach and actually became Bnei Yisrael. Did the Avos HaKadoshim, who we know were Mekayim the Mitzvahs, the Gemara in Yuma tells us, did they have a din of a Ben Noach or did they have a din of a Ben Yisrael? What was their status? The Avos, Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, were they considered Bnei Noach or were they considered Bnei Yisrael? So this is a Machlokes Rishonim. And the Ramban's Shita is that when, as soon as Avram entered a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he took on the status of a Yid, and they lost the din of a Ben Noach, and he no longer was considered a Ben Noach. Rashi disagrees. The Ramban brings Cholkim, and he disagrees on them. So there's a Machlokes Rishonim if they had the status of a Yid or a Goy. The Ramban assumes that at the moment Avram had a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he already became a Yid, and he lost his status of a ben noyach. And he brings a very geshmak araya from the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin says that a goy is yoyrish his father midaraisa. A goy is yoyrish his father midaraisa. What's the source? Because Esav yarshin har seir. Azayzak the Gemara. And Esav was a goy, and therefore, since Esav was a goy, you see that a goy is Yerush's father deraisa. And the Gemara says, no, that can't be your source. Why? Because you can't learn that a goy can yarish in his father deraisa from Esav if Esav had a din of Yisrael. He was a mumar. He was someone who was off the derech, but lemaisi, he was a yid, and therefore you have no source that a goy is Yerush's father deraisa. Now, l'chayra, Esav was before Har Sinai. And yet, we're saying that he had the status of Yisrael. As I state in Gemara and Kedushin, Yidaf Yod Ches, Memela, Zokter Ramban, Al Karchach, you see that before Matan Torah, Yidden already had the din of a Ben Yisrael since the moment Avram entered a bris with HaKadosh Baruch. Memela, says from Naftali, according to the Ramban, that the Oves HaKadoshim already had a din of Bnei Yisrael before Matan Torah. So what type of change occurred? What transpired in Matan Torah? If we're saying that they already were Yidden, so what type of Geirus did they need to undergo before Matan Torah? They didn't need a Geirus. They already Yidden from the time of Avram, when Avram entered the Bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why are you telling me they needed to undergo a Geirus? They had to go through Tvila, through Mila, Kabbalah, some mitzvahs, all the different procedures that a Geir has to undergo. Why did they have to do so? L'chayra, they were already Yidden from the time of Avram, from the times of the Oves HaKadoshim. Why was there a necessity to undergo a Geirus? Zokter Naftali, and it's a famous piece from Naftali, there are two dinim in being a Yid. There are two aspects, there are two elements. One is the fact that you're be'etzem a Yid. You're inherently a Yid, you have the Yichus Yisrael. You are a Yid. That's one thing. And that element, a Yid, already was a Yid before Matan Torah from the times of Avraham Avinu. The Oves HaKadoshim already were Yidden mitzad, the Yichus of being inherently a Yid, that existed even prior to Matan Torah. However, they still had to undergo a certain type of Geirus by Har Sinai before Matan Torah. And how so? What was the element that was added by Matan Torah? What was added was that at Matan Torah they were given Kedushas Yisrael. And since they were given Kedushas Yisrael, which is a whole new entity and a whole new aspect to the fact that they were Yidden, that indeed required a certain Geirus that took place, and that's why they entered the procedure called Geirus, which included a Mila, Tfila, and Kabbalah, and Mitzvahs, and Hazah, before Matan Torah. Memela, say the Mefarshim, the Naftali understands, that is Pshat in the Rishonim that hold that there was no application of the concept of Geirush and Isgar, Kot, and Shnei, the Dami, when it came to Matan Torah. Why? Why shouldn't there be a concept of Geirush Niskayer, a new birth, when it came to this Geirus that took place on Har Sinai? L'chayra, every Geirus, you undergo a procedure of Geirus and you become a new person. So if so, if you're a new person, so why didn't that apply as well by Matan Torah? The answer is that they already were Yidden beforehand. They already had the status of Yidden prior to Matan Torah. Therefore, it wasn't a real, full-fledged, 100% complete Geirus. It was a quasi-Geirus. It was only a semi-Geirus. They only had to get the second aspect of being Yid, which was the Hoysofas Kedusha that took place via the Geirus by Har Sinai. And therefore, since it wasn't a complete Geirus, it was only a partial Geirus, there was no application of the din of Geirush and Isgar, Kot, and Shnei LaDomi. That is the second Malach to explain why there was no din of Geirush and Isgayer when it came to the Geirus by Har Sinai before Matan Torah.